Now, how can you negotiate challenging times in your marriage?
Woman to woman, it's time to talk.
Now, when Andy and Fiona Baines went through a rocky patch in their marriage, they decided to go away on a course. I met up with them and asked them to explain something of their journey and how they first met.
It was a Saturday morning. I wanted to lie in, but a good friend of mine said, no, come along to this meeting. It was a Youth for Christ meeting in Tunbridge Wells. And I was very glad I went because Fee was there. And I thought, wow.
And was it the same kind of wow moment for you? Or were you completely unaware of Andy's existence at this point?
I was a bit distracted by somebody else at the time. Andy invited me round to talk about youth work. And I didn't realise that those kind of conversations involved three-course meals with wine. It took me a while to realise that there was something more on Andy's mind than actual youth work matters.
I was wooing her. That's what I was doing.
Oh, that's very romantic. Very romantic.
He sent me a Valentine's card the day after we had this dinner. And it took me 6 months to work out it was from him. I had this Valentine's card from this guy and it had bears on it having a candlelit meal, and then he was like, yeah, that was the clue.
So a little bit of a rocky start then to begin with, trying to woo Fiona. When it came to getting engaged, Andy, had you just spoken to Fiona in advance about the possibility of engagement?
I think we knew from like week two, we just knew that was the future for us, which was lovely. So we were very intentional from the start. And a bit holy of me, but I was sort of praying, you know, God, give me a sign when I should actually say, will you marry me? And it was a time when you came around my house, because I had a little starter house at the time, and Fee was in tears. And I took that as the sign, because your flatmate you were living with was moving out, wasn't she? And you hadn't got anywhere to live. And I thought, well, yeah. So that was the sign.
So presumably when you popped round and you were all about upset, you weren't really expect to be the moment.
No, I wasn't actually. I mean, we've learned actually in married life, it's not always about grand romantic gestures. It just fitted us perfectly at the time. And, you know, we knew we wanted to be together, and it was like, why not just crack on with it, really? We had 5 months engagement.
So as far as marriage prep's concerned, what was that like?
We had a great marriage preparation course. A couple ran it in the church, and it was really good to talk about some things we hadn't actually discussed before, like whether we both liked cabbage or not and that kind of thing. And how important things, and how often we were planning to see the in-laws. We found it really useful. But actually, I think we were kind of in a bubble of thinking, oh, it's just about getting married and it's going to be amazing. I think it wasn't until after we got married that we realised actually it wasn't going to be as easy as just everything we'd learnt on this concept of marriage preparation. Yeah, it was interesting once we were married.
Because those first few weeks after you got married, people would come up and say, how's married life and how are things treating you? And very often people would say, she's quite open and wears a heart on her sleeve, would say, well, it's quite hard, really. And, you know, it's not as easy as I thought. I'm not even sure I've married the right person. And I was often stood right next to her.
What are some of the things that you were finding difficult, particularly at the beginning of married life then, Fiona?
I'm very messy and Andy's very tidy. We're the complete opposites to a lot of stereotypes, I know. Andy wanted things just so, and I really didn't really see the mess. I'd bought quite a lot of boxes into the house because I'd moved into Andy's house. There was a bit of tension going on there. And I guess it wasn't the romantic. It's not, you know, when you get down to the nitty gritty, there's some real stuff that goes on that isn't maybe perfectly dreamy.
In advance, Andy, did you and Fiona chat about your expectations for marriage, or even talk about kind of, you know, who was going to do the dishes, who was going to take the bins out, all that kind of thing?
I don't think, no, not as much as we should have done. I think that's why it was a bit of a, you know, it's a bit of a told us not to put us off marriage, but just to sort of warn us that, you know, there would be some rocky, even at the beginning, you know, you're not always in a loved up bubble. There is that honeymoon period, as they call it, don't they? The realities of living together, sharing a house, sharing a space. Yeah, and those sort of things. I think we could have talked about them more.
So the ultimate question is then, how did you end up being involved in marriage ministry? What was the journey and the path, Fiona?
Well, to be honest with you, the problems that we were just mentioning, or some of the like bumpy journey that we had initially, we kind of poodled along. But then when we had kids and they didn't sleep at night and didn't sleep during the day, and they were 18 months apart and they were constantly on the go, we just hit this kind of crisis. Andy was starting his own business up. We just ended up like in this relationship like brother and sister at best, and at worst we were like, you take the kids, no, you take the kids. You know, it was just a very bickery, not particularly pleasant relationship. We were really tired. So at one point we thought, is this it? Is, you know, do we give up now because this is deeply unpleasant what we've got at the moment. But then we realised that actually looking after the kids was such hard work that we didn't want to be doing it alone. So we were best off staying together. So we kind of then kind of stumbled our way through, started to try and make a bit better of it. And then we went on this marriage enrichment weekend.
Organised, it was our 10-year wedding anniversary, which we thought, because we've been through this rocky patch, we should celebrate. And I wanted to do what normal people do, which was go away without the kids for a nice romantic holiday. And Fee said, no, we should go on a marriage enrichment weekend, which was something I was, fair to say, dragged kicking and screaming to. But in the end, we did both. We went on the marriage preparation week, enrichment weekend, and went on a lovely holiday together. So I'm really glad we did both those things. And it was the transformation that our marriage went through on that weekend that got us involved. We thought, this is amazing. We want to, you know, see more couples have this sort of experience.
Well, that's Andy and Fiona just sharing something of their challenges, even funny things like, do you like cabbage or not? And you might think that's not a serious thing to discuss, but hey, if you're someone who always has cabbage every Friday, what's going to happen if you get married and you're trying to cook dinner for two? Well, coming up shortly, we're going to continue to hear Andy and Fiona's story, and particularly about the impact that going away on a marriage enrichment weekend had on their relationship. At the moment, we're hearing a conversation I had recently with Andy and Fiona. They are from a ministry called Time for Marriage. They went through a few challenges in their marriage, but when it got to their 10th wedding anniversary, rather than going away and having a romantic time, they went away on a course to sort out their marriage. And I asked Fiona to explain a little bit about what they dealt with over the course of that weekend.
The premise of the weekend was looking at what God says about marriage and then applying it to different areas of our own marriage. So we looked at our communication, we looked at forgiveness, we looked at our sex life at the time, and we actually came quite unstuck in the forgiveness session because we'd built up all these kind of grudges against each other over the years with the whole, you know, no, you look after the kids, no, I've had them for this amount of time, you know, and we were, you know, we'd kind of got this big bag of it really. And in that forgiveness session we were like, well, I want to forgive you, but I can't kind of forget about that stuff. And it wasn't until we kind of realised that God has really forgiven us, and that we really needed to, and we couldn't do it without God's input, actually. We kind of just prayed and said, would you help us forgive each other? And it was like a real healing process for us. I mean, it wasn't anything major that had gone on. It was just this nitty-gritty of stuff that had built up. And from then on, we were able to get really close to each other. Everybody noticed the difference from us when we got home. And something we've learned from that forgiveness process is that we now forgive really quickly, because then it doesn't build up. That particular element of us had a really long-lasting effect on us.
Why is it so important, Fiona, that couples actually make space to talk about these things rather than just kind of assume what the other one's thinking?
If we don't talk about these things, we, like you said, we do just assume, or we just bumble along, and then these things build up and they get worse if there are issues. And, you know, if you think about, like, if you have a little something in your shoe, it can be a little bit uncomfortable. But then, you know, if you get lots of things in your shoe, it's crippling. You can't actually, you know, walk on these things. So it's really important that we are open and honest with each other about stuff. You know, the Marriage Week theme for this year is planning ahead, and it's really important that we plan in time to have these discussions and we talk to each other so that we don't have these issues.
I think it's also being intentional about things. I mean, if we're intentional about our marriage and doing something to enrich it and make it better, I think so many people just go along with an okay marriage, which is okay until the things of life, you know, happen, unexpected things to do with work or health or whatever. And if your marriage is just about okay, that's when it can sort of come unstuck. Because in our experience, most marriages sort of fail. It isn't necessarily the affair or something like that. It's just this sort of drift apart because people aren't investing in each other and spending time to really get to know that person. Even though you might be married for many years, you know, you still got to get to know that person. And we all change. So what are the things that's important to Fiona now that perhaps aren't quite the same as when we were married, what, 25 years ago? So
also, if you're not taking time to communicate and understand what each other's thinking, like you said, you make assumptions about what they're thinking, and then before you know it, you're painting a bad picture of them in your head, and the things you don't like about them are becoming bigger than the things you do like about them, and you forget to, you know, about the person you fell in love with, really. So it's really important we keep on talking about these issues when we have them.
Now, earlier on, Andy, you mentioned that perhaps you guys didn't talk as much as you could have done about, you know, expectations of marriage and who's going to do what and all the rest of it. Sometimes we often hear people say, oh, well, you know, you brought a lot of baggage into marriage. What do you understand by that term when someone says we need to kind of look at your baggage?
Yeah, I mean, we bring all sorts of things, good things and bad things, into our marriage. And one of the sessions on our Time for Marriage weekends is a session about baggage. It's all about things. Our parenting is really, really how we were parented, or the people that brought us up, has more of an effect than I think we'd like to admit. Example of the first Christmas we had together when we were married. You know, do you open the presents straight away? Do you have them after breakfast? Do you wait till you've been to church? Do you even go to church? Do you have them after lunch? And they did all, I mean, my family, we had Christmas Day sausage rolls and ham for breakfast. I think it's an East Anglian thing, but to Fee that was a...
It's weird.
Yeah, but she still says it's weird.
I've never heard of it before, Andy, I have to
concern. You know where the croissants?
Wow. So, yes, I think it was things like that. So I think the whole... and we bring previous relationships we might have had as well. And there's good and bad things we bring in. So it's not just to be negative. There's a lot of good things we bring in from our upbringing and from our past experiences and past relationships. We might have learnt some very useful things from past relationships. But, you know, if he reacts a certain way, and I'm aware of some of the things that she might have been through, you know, as she was growing up, and just some of the things she's bringing into that, into our marriage, then I might have more of an understanding about if she... as I think overreacts to a certain thing, I can understand what's behind that, and the same for me, I think. So, yeah.
And how do you go about, Fiona, when someone comes along for a weekend, you know, they're here to kind of put their marriage under scrutiny, how do you go about making sure that they kind of feel at ease at the beginning? Because I guess some people must be quite apprehensive when they come along.
Yeah, and you can see it in their faces. I think the main thing that people think on our weekends is they're going to have to sit around in a group and tell everybody all about their marriage. And on our weekends, we emphasise this all the time. You know, it's all over our website. We don't encourage group discussion, because also, you know, other people don't really want to know everybody else's issues. You know, they're there for their marriages, and we want to really protect that. So the important thing for our weekend is, you know, what God's going to do in your marriage for that time. So we'll have people do a talk a bit about their experience. This is our facilitator couples, and then the couples will go away and do the conversations themselves, talk about that issue themselves. There's no point any time that they're asked to talk about their marriage. And, you know, we really emphasise that. And we also create an environment that is relaxing for them. So we do our best that they feel relaxed and at ease.
I guess a lot of these things, Andy, are applicable to people who don't have a faith. But I guess, you know, one of the key things, of course, for Christians is prayer. So what do you advise couples to do when it comes to prayer in a marriage?
There's been sort of surveys over the years, and unfortunately the sort of divorce rate amongst Christian couples isn't that much lower than amongst ordinary couples. So just sort of having a shared faith isn't enough. But actually, when couples pray regularly together, it drops down to a very, very, very tiny percentage, because when you pray together, you're very intimate. I mean, you're very open and you're very vulnerable with each other. Probably it's as intimate as making love might be, because you've got different ways that you pray, different styles of prayer, and couples are just really embarrassed about doing it together. So there's loads of Christian couples who pray in small groups and in church and all over the place, but actually as a couple together, they don't pray regularly. So there's a real coming together and intimacy. And if I just say to Fee of a morning, what can I pray for you about today, I will learn something about what Fee's worried about or excited about, or sort of the things that are going to be going on in her day that I can then pray for. So I think it's one of the most important things that a Christian couple can do for their relationship with each other and with God is to pray together regularly.
And they can be a powerhouse for praying for other couples as well. Yeah. Because they're praying together.
Yeah, absolutely. An important message there. So, I mean, obviously you guys went through a bit of a rocky patch. You can relate to anyone who's going through a difficult time now. If there's someone listening right now and they're thinking, I'm in that dark moment, what would you say to them?
Keep hopeful, keep communicating, and don't give up, really. I think it's so easy to... It's not easy to give up, but... the temptation is to give up, and we've seen God work a miracle in our marriage, and we've seen God work a miracle in other people's marriages, and we believe it can happen. So communicate. That's our main message.
Now, Andy, unfortunately, men are often accused as not being very good communicators. Women are often the ones that are going, oh, can we talk? What do you think men have got to learn in the area of communication?
It is to listen. It's a stereotype that's out there, but I certainly fit it in that you know, I try to fix a problem. So if he comes to me with a problem when she was younger, she might have locked herself out of the house with the kids in the rain and it was awful. So rather than listening to how embarrassed she was about doing that, how the kids got wet and all that sort of stuff, I'm going, well, where's the spare key? We've got to get some more cut and give some more to the neighbours and just trying to fix it. And yes, it might need to be fixed somewhere down the line, but there was an issue once that we'd been just going around in circles with. We just kept having the same conversation and going nowhere. And then we just agreed together. I think we might have learned it at our time for Marriage Weekend, but I was just going to sit and let Fee talk about the issue. And you spoke for 25, 30 minutes and I didn't interrupt. And it was an amazing experience. Because at the end of that, Fee knew that I'd listened to her. She'd said everything she wanted to say on the subject and I'd understood her. Even if I didn't then agree with her, I'd understood, because so often in conversations we're waiting for the other person just to pause or breathe so we can get our bit in and we're not even listening to what they're saying. So that was a really powerful thing we did, and it really helped in that particular situation.
Yeah, sounds amazing. So let's find out some practicalities. If a couple turn up to one of these weekends, what do they expect? What happens?
So as I said, we have facilitated couples that will do a 20-minute talk maybe on the specific subject. We've got baggage, as Andy was saying, communication, sex, prayer, our visions for the future,
roles, you know,
roles, various subjects, and so they will speak, and then the couples will have an exercise that they go off and do separately as individuals, and then they'll get together and they'll go through those exercises. We also plan in a beautiful romantic meal for the Saturday night, so they can have some time, just the two of them, to, you know, really build romance. We have some time to pray for them. We do have one session where we do as get together as groups of husbands and wives, where we get to look at some taboo questions that we wouldn't normally ask. You know, sometimes those will be about sex, because we just don't communicate about sex, and it's all done anonymously. So we just chuck a question in, they chuck questions in, we don't know who's asked them, and then we all answer them together, because we're really not experts. We're interested to know what everybody else says. So there's that as well. And
yeah, I mean, we basically, it's just an opportunity for couples to invest. And I think by even coming on that weekend, often one has dragged the other one, and that's very apparent. But just by the fact that they're saying to each other, I care enough about our relationship to invest some money and to invest time out of our, with all extraordinary busy lives, you're saying something to each other that you care about this relationship, you want more for it. And I think God honours that. So almost by turning up, yeah, a certain, you know, you're 2/3 of the way there or something, just because you've made that commitment to each other.
Well, Andy and Fiona Baines there of the organisation Time for Marriage. If you want to find out more, do head to their website, www.timeformarriage.org.uk. Here on Premier Christian Radio, right now it is the Woman to Woman show.